No, I'm okay, yeah.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Oh, okay. Okay. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here this evening. And all the way from the beautiful town in the Eastern Free State called Clarence, bringing greetings from there, from the church in the mountains called Itabeng. And it's so good to be here. Amen. Tonight I'm gonna both of us, we're gonna share the stories as to where we come from and how God saved our lives. Amen. I was born in Clarence. I was born and bred in Clarence on the farm, and then thereafter I went to school in Clarence. From where I was staying, it was 4 kilometers, walking every day to and from the school. So in total, I was walking 8 Ks a day. And then, so farm life at that time was very, very difficult. We didn't have any sort of clean water. And our parents were earning such a little amount of money in those days on the farms. The most important thing for the farmers, most of the farmers in those days was that our parents should only work for them. That's the only thing that they were looking after, not to provide some of the basic stuff like water and electricity. But thank God that God is God at the end of the day. I managed to go to school and finish school in the homeland called Kwakwa. And then from there, I worked as a temporary teacher at the Zaihook, where I met my beautiful wife. And then that was in 1986. And I was arrested by the security police in South Africa. The reason being, I taught the children about the history of South Africa, including Mandela and Oliver Tambo. So I was arrested under Section 29 of Internal Security Act, and I was called a traitor in my home country, South Africa. And I was blacklisted not to get any job from any government department. But because God is God, I remember after that I would stay at home after I'd been blacklisted. And I went to work in the mines after that. And then after 3 years, I came back from the mines. That's when I decided to marry my wife, because we dated in 1987 and we got married in 1991. From there, I didn't attend any sort of a church at that point. I was still at home. As the years went by, my uncle invited me to Steve's farm in the barn. And we went there by bus most of the Sundays. And I hated to go to that farm because I didn't like the so-called the people who are calling themselves the born agains, because in most cases I didn't have any sort of a good example in those days about the people who call themselves Christians, because I was bound on the other side of by the ancestral worship. And I think No, what's the point of being saved? Because I'm saving my ancestors. I was absolutely being bound, and I was living in fear. And I remember when my uncle witnessed to me about the goodness of God, and I said, oh yeah, yeah, I'll visit that church in Steve's Farm, but I'm not going to give my life to Jesus. I remember the other day, when I visited there, I saw people who were praying under the tree, some of them crying, and I was there with my very informal clothes, and seeing the people with the short jeans praying under the tree, crying, and I'm like, what is going on here? Little did I know that God was preparing to knock in my heart slowly but surely. And then I remember in 1999, in September, that's when I got saved in the Tlabeng Church. Amen? And then after, let me start off by this. The person who led me to the Lord was Justice. Yes. And then thereafter, I felt that I've been convicted to follow Jesus, really. It wasn't easy after I've declared my faith. I remember I told my wife at the later stage that, you know what, I've decided I've been a born-again Christian. She said, what? You see, the reason that she was upset with me was the fact that we made a vow that we'll never go to that kind of a church. Because we are very, very comfortable in serving our own ancestors, you know, thinking that the ancestors are the answer. But Jesus convicted my heart. And I gave my life to the Lord, and in September, as I said, 1999. And I remember that very, towards the end of the month, there was a conference in Bloemfontein, a Bloemfontein conference where Terry Vigo used to have a conference there, and Simon Petit. I was invited as a young Christian, and I get so excited there. Yeah. So, on the flip side of the matter, my wife, when I said that I've been saved, she was absolutely cross with me, to the point where she said she wanted to divorce me. Yes. She said, what on earth are you talking about? I don't have any room in this house. I have to leave. Yes. But she didn't. We are still here with her even today. And I said, I remember saying to her, if you want to perform the rituals in this house, you are not welcome to perform them in our house, but I grant you permission to do that in my father's place, or your parents' place. It didn't sit well in her heart. But I was so brave to draw the line. I said, this is it. I'm not following the ancestors. I'm done. And that is it. No turning back. And it continued to aggravate my wife more and more when I say that. But as the time went on, God managed to get hold of her heart. I remember most of the time when she was mocking at me about going to the Seventh Church, I didn't make a big noise. I just say, oh, okay, but yeah, well, one day you'll feel what I'm feeling. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, God is God. And he made the way. And my wife, I think it was in the year 2000, she was saved. My wife was saved. And I remember there was a conference in 2000, where there was a lot of nations came to Clarence. The conference was called Dread 2000, Dread to the Nations. I remember Dave Devenish was there, and the other guys from the UK. We had such a lovely conference. And my wife was a new Christian at that point. And when she got saved, I jumped with joy, and I say, "Yay, God!" Because at the end, you God has managed to convict her heart. And then we had this walk in Christ until at the moment. I think she will just mention some of the points if I've left anything.
I think Sam has said it all. But I will share a little bit about how I grew up.
Yes.
As Sam said, we grew up on the farm. I was 10 kilos outside of Clarence, and I was walking every morning to the school and come back. And life was so difficult during that time of apartheid in our country, where our parents were treated like slaves in their own country. And it was so sad to see the white people abusing our father in front of our eyes. Sometimes we feel like it's like I can do something, but you can't. I think the ladies will understand here that as a young girl, I didn't have time to sit on my dad's lap. I didn't know what is it for my dad to give me a hug as a young girl. And it's not like my father was a bad father. No, he's such a lovely guy. But he didn't know how to love us, because that's the way he grew up from his father as well. And my father was always at work. When we wake up in the morning, he's already at work. When he comes back later in the evening, he's tired. Saturdays will be working, and Sunday will go to church. And then after that, he need to do something to make extra money. We were 7 in my home, and I'm the 3rd child from my mom. And 3 of my sisters died because of epilepsy. And when my mom tells us how life was it for him and for her and my dad, I always cry. I was like, "Mom, you went through a lot." Because my mom saying we had epilepsy, like 4 of us. It was my sister, my brother, myself, and the other child that was coming after me. And three of them died. It's only me and my brother who survived. And my mom said people didn't even want to go and visit her house because they thought there is something that they can take to their home. So life was so difficult amongst those oppression from the white people. She was dealing with the sick people in the house. It was hard. Sometimes as a young girl at the age of 12, I needed to look after my youngest sisters because my mom has to wake up in the morning and go and take care of the white person's children, left hers behind. So even for me to have a doll, is it a doll? I didn't have it as a young girl. I didn't. We always saw the white people's children playing with their dolls. I didn't have one. So I needed to learn how to make a doll out of the cloth and the stick. All of us, the black children, we needed to learn how to do that. And the boys needed to learn how to make the cars out of the wires. That's how we were playing. And because life was so difficult, my mom, if the money was enough, my mom would go and buy us the school uniform, and we would wear that on Christmas Day so that we can have a new uniform at the beginning of the year. If they don't have money that Christmas, my mom will open her wardrobe and take out her dress and cut it and make myself a nice thing to wear to look beautiful like other children does. In that moment, my parents were ancestral worshippers. So we grew up in that kind of a family whereby they will be slaughtering cows, slaughtering sheep, thinking that the ancestors are hungry. We grew up in that environment. And As I've mentioned earlier, I grew up in that poor family, but in my father's house, we always have something to eat. Even though it was little, but he had something to eat. Then I married Sam in 1991. Then life was more difficult. Sometimes we go to bed for 3 days without food, drinking water only. And then we decided, myself and Sam, will cut the wood from the farm and sell it in the township for 30 rand. I don't know how much is 30 rand in your pounds. And then we will buy only the candles to light, and then we'll buy the washing soap for the children. That was it. So it was so, so, so difficult, guys. And when we got married, we moved into the township. It was in 1994. After the elections, we moved into the township. We were still going to the church that my father is still leading. I'm praying for him that God will come and reveal himself to him. Because in my culture, people believe that they are Christians, whereas they're worshiping God and their ancestors. That's where I'm coming from. And then I will read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, but I had the ropes on my waist. Those ropes, we believe that they are protecting us against the evil spirits, against the witch doctors. But we'll proclaim that we are Christians and we believe in God. Then when Sam, this other day, came back home saying to me, I've made up my mind, and I was like, about what? And he said, I received Jesus as a Lord and Savior. I was very upset with him. And as he mentioned, I was, now what about me? Guys, I was so stubborn, which I'm a Zulu, by the way. The Zulus are very stubborn. But I'm grateful that I didn't follow Jesus because of Sam. Because if the trials and temptation will come my way, I'll keep on referring to him, this Jesus of yours. I said to Sam, I want to feel what you felt when you leave your ancestors behind. And amazingly, I'll be praying on my own. I'll be like, Lord Jesus, please, if Sam is lost, will you please bring him back? Or if I am lost, show me the way. And I used to go to the Saben church, and I will stand at the back, and as Sam said, looking to these people dancing, shouting, screaming, and I'll be like, what kind of a church is this one? And when we get home, I'll say to Sam, I don't like your church. I don't like it. And I used to say to him, you went to that church because you love white people. There is nothing better there. And I was so irritating. But Sam used to say to me, what you are saying doesn't bless me, but what I want you to know is that I'm not going to turn my back. I'm following Jesus. I'm putting my head on the block. Until the other day, I went to the Saben church and Steve was preaching. I was sitting at the back as I used to, but the message just got into my heart. And I feel like someone is saying to me, if you die today, you are going to hell. The fear just gripped me. Because I have this list of good works. I'm not drinking alcohol. I'm not swearing. I'm not a witch doctor. Surely if those Christians saying they are going to heaven, I'm also going. Because I thought by doing good works gives me the right to go to heaven. I didn't know that it's only Jesus who help the way and the truth and the life. Mm. When I get home, I was sitting outside my shack. We were living in a tin shack. And Sam get back from church, and I said to him, I want to be saved. He had the shock of his life. And he says, oh, what happened? I said, I think it's a good thing. I'd love to do that. And Sam said, okay, it's fine. We can do it. It doesn't matter to be at a church on Sunday. We can go at Justice's house. He is a leader. He will lead you to the Lord. And I said, there is someone that I need to sort out before I become a Christian. I will go after that. Sam said, no, it doesn't have to be like that. Just receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I went to Justice's house. It was Thursday, I still remember. I went and I surrendered my life to Jesus. But after that, I felt like I've did a terrible mistake of my life for receiving Jesus. I was so scared. It was like something bad is going to happen to me. Something bad is going to happen to my kids. And then we had this conference, as Sam mentioned. Then I was in the conference and I just be honest with the people who were praying for me. I said, guys, pray for me. I'm struggling. It's like I've done a terrible mistake of my life by receiving Jesus. And they laid hands on me. I felt like the heaviness which was on my shoulder was just being lifted up. And I felt so light. I felt the joy coming into my heart. When I seen the songs, I could see that this is the way. Yes. And no one told me that the ancestors were not real. No one. Sam didn't even touch the things of the ancestors to me because I was very angry with him. But after they prayed for me, it was like someone is talking to me, like, when they say the ancestors can do this, it's not true. Jesus can. It was like I'm debating with somebody who's telling me this truth. And after that, I was attacked by the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I was such a new believer. And they will come to me, say, you are born again. I will say, yeah, I am. They said, what about this and this? I will be like to them, in the Bible, it says. And when I get home, I'll ask Sam, Sam, is this verse in the Bible? Sam will say, yes, it is. Then I realized that the Holy Spirit was helping me to answer them. Guys, I didn't finish my trick. Sam did. Because in 1990, when Mandela was about to release from jail, there was lots of killings. The police were killing the students. So my dad was like, I don't think it's safe anymore to go to school. So I didn't finish matric. And where I was working, I was speaking Afrikaans. English was a foreign language to me. And then Steve said to Sam and Justice, I want Topsy to come and be my PA. And I was, well, what is PA? And then Steve came with them to my house, and then I was talking to Steve through translation. Sam will translate for me in Sesotho, and then I will respond in Sesotho, and he will tell Steve what I'm saying. And after that, I said to Sam, actually, how are we going to work with Steve? Because we can't talk to one another. But Steve says to me, come, Topsy, we'll work this out. Yeah. Guys, I didn't know how it is to operate a computer. I didn't know it. I didn't know how to make a conversation in English. I didn't know that. So the church paid for me to go to Dave and Cynthia. They moved to Hull. They were my teacher. Dave was helping me with the computer. Cynthia was helping me with English classes. Then I started to understand. I started to communicate with Steve. But the other time I would be like to him, Steve, I don't know what does this mean in English, but it means this in Sesotho. And Steve will be like, I also don't know Sesotho, Topsy, but honestly, Steve worked with me. And every little thing that I've achieved, Steve will cheer me up. He will be like, well done, Topsy, I'm so proud of you. You did so well. It was my first time to hear someone saying well done to me. Except my husband, of course. As I mentioned at the beginning that my dad didn't know how to say well done to me, but here's the white guy whom I didn't like because of their history with our parents. God used Steve to restore my dignity.
Mm. Yes.
I started to realize that I am special. I always thought there is nothing good can come out of me. I always thought I'm useless as a young mother. And I believe some of the things I needed to sit down with my boys after I got saved just to say sorry to them because I didn't know how to love them. God used Steve to help me to be who I am. And I started to understand that I'm a new creation. started to understand my new identity in Christ. I remember the other time I said to Steve, "Steve, I'm struggling if people don't love me. I'm struggling if people are saying ugly things about me." And Steve said something that helped me. He said, "Topsy, don't look at yourself the way people look at you. Just see yourself the way God sees you." Just help me. So I'm going to read this scripture to you guys. It helped me all the time. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It said, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You were once not a people." Guys, I was nothing in front of this world, in front of my own eyes. I was nothing. But Jesus made me who I am. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This scripture all the time, when I read them, I would be like, "Lord Jesus, thank you." Mm. I was dead. I was without hope. Yes. I was living because I would wake up in the morning. I didn't have any future to look to. Mm. But because of Jesus, because of the church, because of Steve, I'm standing in front of you today. And I can communicate with you in English that I didn't know. After some time, I think after 2 weeks after I received Jesus, and after 2 months, our youngest son had epilepsy. Guess what our parents were saying? "You see, the ancestors are very angry with you." Amazingly, I still remember that song very well. It's a Zulu song. It says, "Lord Jesus, when the storms of this life rage against me, you did not leave me alone." Mm. I was doing the washing. My boy was in hospital. And Sam went with Justice to see the boy. And Sam said, "No, let me go. Don't go, because he will cry when he sees you." And I was doing the washing outside, listening to this song. I said, "Lord, you are with me. Mm. Yes, this is the storm. It will be over. You are with me." But I think, as all you know, that the storms of this life won't go away until Jesus comes back. We are still meeting with lots of challenges in our lives, but we still see his hands upon us. He is faithful. So I was sharing with the church in Hull on Sunday that I am a living testimony of the poor being embraced and being lifted up from the airship. Guys, I didn't have anything. England was a country that we had on history when we were at school. Mm. In my mind, I never thought I would be here.
Yeah.
But because of Jesus,
yeah,
I've been to many countries traveling with Steve. And when we were praying for the nations of the world, I was part of that prayer meetings. Mm. Now for me, when I look what God is doing in regions beyond, I can see that God is answering prayers. Guys, we love you so much. Mm. The grace of God has carried us this far.
Yes.
And we know he's going to carry us until he comes back. Mm. Bless you guys.
Thank you. Okay. Just to end off about our testimony, I just want to say to you guys tonight, God is the God who restores lives. I remember I hated Afrikaans, the language called Afrikaans. But when I read in the Bible says, God make one out of two, one new man in Christ. At the moment, I'm very, very excited to sing Afrikaans in my church, Sihlabe. But I hated it because I was treated badly by the African-speaking people. But God, he has restored all the years that the locust has eaten in my life. And I'm very, very grateful that I can worship with the white people at the moment, getting excited, shout, and do whatever I can do because of the grace and mercy of Jesus. I have seen him, right? My heart cannot stay silent. I've seen him. Thank you very much.